Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Hello, my fantastic audience of fabulousness. All right, so make sure you checked out the content warning. Today, we're going to talk about woo, magic, paganism, witchcraft. All the good stuff that if you don't believe in any of those things, or those things may cause you uncomfortableness, then today would be not a good episode to watch or listen to. All right. As always, come with content warning. Sometimes it's not just about sex. Who knew? Okay, so here's before I get into this, I want to give you a little bit. If you haven't watched or listened to any of my past episodes on magic, I highly recommend pausing me today and going back to all the episodes that I talk about magic, sex magic, me being a high priestess, all of these things, so that you have a framework of what I'm talking about, why I'm talking about it, and who gives me the right to talk about it. Okay, so go listen to those episodes and then come back. All right, so you've listened to all those episodes and you're all excited. Ooh. What does it mean to be an ethical witch or ethical pagan? You ready? All right. So the reason we're talking about this, first of all, it's been a while since I've talked about magic and my pagan ways, my frolicky pagan ways. So when I put out a call to the listeners of like, hey, give me some topics. Somebody sent me this really awesome message about that they had this experience and they would like me to talk about how that happened and what that was about and what was going on there. So I was like, ooh, that's actually a good, really good topic. So that's what led us to how do we navigate the world as being an ethical witch or an ethical pagan? So let me first of all break those two words down. Being a witch is somebody who practices witchcraft or Wicca. And being a pagan is the rest of us, including the witches, that practice poly, believe in poly gods and believe in the earth and believe in fairies and magic. And there's many different, basically, if you don't fall into like one of the major religions, most likely your belief systems probably fall into the paganism. So paganism is the belief of many gods, many goddesses, many deities that you worship, pray to, or honor. Okay. So being the ethical non-monogamous slut I am, I'm also an ethical non-monogamous spiritual being. Praise to all the beings. All right. So I don't personally identify as a witch. Others would very much call me a witch, but I don't identify as a witch. I identify as being a pagan. However, a witch, again, is somebody that it doesn't have to be female. It can be male or female or non-binary. It can include everybody who practices Wicca. And fundamentally, Wicca is the practice of earth magic, honoring the cycles of the earth, honoring the seasons, honoring the elementals. That's basically the basis of Wicca. Now, with all things in life, really, we can move with a, in a place of ethics, or we can move from an unethical place. And often when we're talking about magic, people will use white to talk about white magic versus black magic, good versus bad, good versus evil. These are like the language that we typically use. So I'm going to use some of that language just so that it's easiest for the audience to kind of follow along. I'm going to use things like black magic and negativity. Okay, versus evil. All right, I'm going to use black magic and negativity, or EBGBs. That's a very technical term. Okay. So, person who asked me to have a conversation recently was camping. And while they were camping, next to them, they had a whole gaggle of women who identified as witches doing some ceremonies, some fire ceremonies and dancing and drumming and honoring the moon and ceremonies. And then down at the beach, there was this other group of people that were doing some again some magic of some sort, but they were wielding more sex magic. And one person in particular was very much wielding sex magic with, I would probably call it black sex magic, with influence in their voice. And so it was almost like a siren call that people couldn't, they couldn't stop themselves from listening and doing everything that she said. Now, outside of the world of magic, we would call those influencers. On your social media, influencers, advertising ads, marketing directors who convince you to buy shit that you didn't really want to buy. Okay. But it's the same concept. It's like wielding this influence into your language, into your words. And it's, utilizing the energies of from a pagan perspective, it's using, the elementals, it's using sex magic. There's a whole bunch of different forms of magic or energies in the in our world, in our plane of existence, that you can utilize and harness for either benefit or destruction, basically. And self, benefit versus, better benefit for all. So he felt really icky, and he has spent quite a bit of time with me, so he's already learned a little bit about energy work and magic. And when you feel like others are influencing you, you bubble up. If you feel like you're taking on other people's feelings, you bubble up. These are ways in which to prevent others from, whether it's conscious or non-conscious influence of, spreading and their ooze all over you without consent. Without them energetically can ejaculating all over you without consent. So that's right. I couldn't do go a whole podcast without talking about ejaculation. Okay, where was I? Yes. So he was like, what is all that? So this is why I wanted to talk about basically being an ethical witch or an ethical pagan. So when you start to get attuned to the elements around us, the energies that I talk about, because basically all magic is being able to feel and interpret the energy that exists in all of everything around us and harnessing that energy and directing that energy for a purpose. That's all magic is. And so when you learn and you become attuned to that, then how you move your intentions and how you affect the world around you becomes a greater sense. You need a greater sense of responsibility to wield it from a place of ethics, to wield it from a place of consent, to wield it from a place where there's doing no harm to yourself or others. And so when somebody is not being responsible with their power or their abilities or their attunement, then what happens is that they're calling upon, their intention is what makes the act good or bad, ethical or non-ethical, consensual or non-consensual. And when that happens, it can feel really, again, just like we shouldn't coerce others or seduce others because that is not consent. Coercion is not consent. Just like we should not use our language and our words and our mannerisms and our influence, and wielding that without the consent of others. Great example of that, is that, I was at massage for the first, a new massage therapist yesterday. And as you can imagine, I have quite the spectrum of energetic field. And often it is quite sexual, as one of my major gifts, being a high priestess of, divine sexual magic, is sexuality. Right. Well, this is why, this is why I'm the sex girl. It's because I wield all this sex magic. And it's not just wield it, I am it, I breathe it, I exist it, I ooze it. It's me. It's my connection to the sex magic in the universe, the creation energy in the universe. I am tapped in, I am attuned, I am connected. So often, when I'm getting body work done, so people are actually touching me, I have to contain all of my energy fields within me, and bubble. Basically, it's like super bubble. And so that's so that the massage therapist or the person who's doing body work isn't overwhelmed by my energies if they can't handle it. But however, that makes it more challenging for them to get a read because they intuitively often get reads on people, which is why they're really good at what they do. They're feeling it, they're sensing it, there's all these things. So then it makes it challenging for somebody to actually be able to read what's going on in my body because I've basically I'm like closed for business energetically. I just shut it around. I don't shut it down, but I just contain it so that it doesn't ooze into other people. So I, with the new massage therapist, I asked her, I'm like, so how do you read energy fields? Are you very sensitive to energy? She's like, oh yeah. And I'm like, okay. So are you okay with me letting down my containment field so that you can sense my energy, but know that it has a lot of oomph. And she's like, I know your power. I've already felt your power. I totally know your oomph. That's fine. I can handle your oomph. I'm like, okay. So in that, as you can see, I negotiated consent. And she was like, no one ever asked me about that. I'm like, yeah, well, that's because not everybody's aware. They just ooze their stuff. But yeah. I'm like, not everybody's aware of energy and their power and their own energetic field and all that stuff. So that was ethical. And so then she was able to feel in and she was able to process and see what my body needed. And she could, it didn't overwhelm her. Because we had that conversation. In the past, when I've been in a lot of pain, I haven't always been able to do that. And so, there's been other massage therapists in the past who can't handle, and all of a sudden they're like, I feel really horny and I feel really uncomfortable. Why do I feel so horny? I'm like, that's my fault. My bad. Sorry about that. So as you can see, I have to make sure that I contain it. And when I don't contain it, everybody around me gets super, super horny all the time. You can see it. It's like, oh shit, I'm not bubbled up very well. Oh, look, the birds are humping, the animals are humping, people are talking inappropriately, making sex jokes, all sorts of things. And I haven't even said a word. And so I'm like, okay, maybe we should bring that in. Let's contain that a little bit. So everybody's like not basically going to break out in an orgy and not know why. But what's wrong with everybody? So here's my question to those that are going to say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with influencing everything and everyone around you? Well, the problem is that it's not really our place. There's consequences to that. So there are consequences that can be in the interim can be entertaining, but in the long term can be very devastated. Devastated for other people, devastated for towards you. There's lots of when we don't have consent and people aren't haven't asked for that influence, it makes it so that there's like can be anger, resentment, lashing out, ending up doing something that they weren't emotionally or psychologically prepared to do, which means that there's shame or guilt about it, that again, they weren't prepared. There can be everything from, mild ramifications to major ramifications of deep-seated, you don't know what people's trauma is, people being triggered, their trauma being triggered, feeling violated and victimized if they have a lot of coercive or sexual trauma abuse in their background, like, which then makes you their surrogate predator. Which means that you're on the re re you're on the you're on the receiving end of that behavior and that reaction, which is not ideal. So there's that. Plus, then there's that whole karma that when we fuck with other people, and we fuck with the magics of the universe, that there's always a karmic responsibility. There's nothing is given for free. There is a debt that has to be paid, and that debt can be not so pleasant to have to experience it, which is why for me, I work really hard to move from a place of ethics, not because I think black magic is wrong, or people who do it is wrong, or that it's bad. Just mostly for me, it's about I don't want the karmic responsibility and the debt that goes along with it. I'm just being honest. All right. So there's no judgment in it. It's just about a matter of fact that whatever we do, there it comes threefold back. That's just the way it is in the world of, magic and energy work and all these things. So I particularly don't want the threefolds back. So when I send it, whatever I send out, I want threefolds back. So whatever I send out all like ethical, consensual energy. So back to the woman on the beach who was wielding her sex magic to influence others as that they couldn't say no, that there's like this whole like, I've been on the receiving end of that power. It's very intoxicating. And you don't even realize that you just think it's hot. You just like, it just activates the part of you that's like, oh, I am so attracted to this person. And I just can't seem to pull myself away from everything that they say. And you're just kind of mesmerized. It's almost like you're in a trance of ecstasy, which of all the powers, I would say are probably the most intoxicating one is the wielding of sex magic for influence over others. Is again very power, probably one of the most powerful and the easiest to wield because it feels good to, for the people. People are like, oh my God, I just want to be in your sphere and your orgasmic sphere and the pleasure. And yes, I want to do whatever you want. And for those who come and hang out with me in the dungeon, they kind of feel that way. And there's a certain element of that wielding of that influence, but that has been negotiated and consent. There's consent behind that. I don't do that to strangers. I don't do it to my listeners, which again, I could put that sex energy and wield that sex magic into every word that I said. And as I say it, you'd be like, yes, absolutely. There's like a, it's that being enthralled. And, you know, we see it in vampire movies and we see that that's what it is. It's being in this trance state. Enthrallness and it feels good, so we want to do it, and so we like absolutely give it all up, just to be, just to have a moment of that space and time. And how do I get more of it? So it's very powerful, and it's also very dangerous. Because if you wield that and you don't wield it in unethical ways, then there's things like. Stalking can happen, obsessiveness can happen. There's a bunch of things that, you know, violence can happen because it's all encompassing. And again, it wasn't with consent. So there's deep ramifications to that. So that's what I want to say about all that. You're like, oh my God, I totally want to wield sex magic like that. No. With great power comes great responsibility. And there's a reason why that is a saying. And also, with great power comes great karmic responsibility and consequences, both for yourself and others around you. And sometimes you may not wield it or be on the receiving end of those consequences in the interim. But in the long term, trust me, you always pay. You will always pay that price. That price does not go without collecting its debt. So, if you're on the receiving end where you're like, you're in somebody's sphere, you're in somebody's energetic being, you're like around somebody, and you're like, you find yourself saying yes to things you wouldn't normally say yes to, and you feel like you're kind of in this trance state and it feels really good, and you're like, you, every part of your being is just like, yes, I want that, and yes, I'll do that, and how can I do that for you? And it's not been a negotiated, you know, BDSM kink, dom sub, master slave negotiation situation. Then it probably means that you're spending time with somebody who's wielding unethical, influential sex magic on you, which means that it's time for you to protect yourself. And the best way to protect yourself is to put a containment bubble around you. And if you're like, I don't know how to do that, it's really simple. Just first of all, close your eyes, envision being encapsulated in a protective love bubble. And that love bubble can be any color that represents love and safety and security to you. And once you put that bubble up, you can't be influenced. Like there's no influence other than your connection to the powers that be, whatever that is, that whoever, whatever, and whoever you believe in. And if you don't believe in an other entity, you've at least energetically contained yourself within yourself, so no one else has influence over you. And that influence can be both conscious, like the woman at the beach that was wielding that magic to the person who is oozing their anger all over you, and all of a sudden now you're really angry, or that person that has sadness next to you and you're all of a sudden you feel really sad. Like people ooze their both consciously and unconsciously ooze their stuff all over us every day. So I recommend bubbling your life up. Bubble yourself up as you go out into the world so that others are not influencing you both positively, negatively. And you, we have enough of our own, I'm going to say, and I say this with love, crazy. Okay. We have enough of our own batshit crazy that we have to contain and that we have to contend with within our own experience in life, in our own lifetime, in our own childhood shit, in our own upbringing and family dynamics and cultural dynamics. Like we have enough of our own stuff every day to work through. We do not need to be picking up Bob's next door shit or Susan, the bank teller who's wielding her sex magic and the influence of her boobs into coercing you into getting a new loan. You don't, or, the television show that, or the advertising execs who are like, now you're like, ooh, I need that, which you didn't even know existed before. You don't need to be influenced by the rest of the world. You have enough of your own stuff within yourself to keep yourself occupied. And also then making choices that your life then, you don't, again, this is about part of taking control of your own life, is that you're now no longer influenced by the rest of the world, which means that you get to choose how you move in the world. You get to choose who you spend time with. You get to choose what you purchase. You get to choose what job you want. You get to choose the person that you desire to be without the influence of the world, people. And that's the most magical place to be ever, being self-contained without the oozing of everybody else's stuff, both conscious and unconsciously. So, this is what my take home is. Takeaway is bubble up, bubble up, bubble up. Bubble up when you go out, bubble up when you come home, bubble up, bubble up, bubble up. Until it's just like a natural state in which you are just contained and bubbled. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to talk about today. Basically, ethics of wielding, particularly wielding of influential sex magic. There's a bunch of other, again, I'm going to say with great power comes great responsibility. And whether you're a pagan or a witch, or you don't identify as any, but yet you are very intuitive and you seem to be able to influence others around you, whether you are consciously, you may not be consciously aware that you have the gift of influence, but you clearly do, which means that you just naturally are tapping into the forces around you to harness that information, harness that come hither energy, which influences others. So, which is wonderful. And there's nothing wrong as long as you are aware that you're doing it and the people are, you come with a content warning. And so the people around you can choose it instead of basically being put under a spell without consent. And why do we not want to do that? Well, we don't want to do that for karmic reasons. One, it's icky. No one likes to be made into anybody's slave. Unless, like, again, unless we're talking about kink and BDSM and it's consensual and yada. Outside of that, being an unconsensual participant in being a slave to others is not okay. It's not okay. It feels wrong. It feels icky. It's traumatizing. It's abusive. There's just so many things about it that just feel icky for the people who are on the receiving end of it. And then later, there's going to be karmic debt. You're going to have to be on the receiving end of that somewhere at some point, and you don't want to do that. So, okay. Now, if you're like, I'm curious more, I'm deeply curious, make sure you go listen to all the other episodes I talk about magic. And I also teach people how to harness their magical gifts. So if you know want to know more about that, you can reach out to me, and I can put you in the right on the right track of training and mentorship and how do you basically harness your natural abilities that you already have of being able to sense the energies around you and utilize them and harness them. And again, we want to do it from a place of ethics so that we don't have bad mojo that we have to pay for later. It's like eating a Big Mac. You know, at the moment, it feels like a really good life choice and it tastes delicious. And it's like, oh, and you can smell it and you're like, oh my God, it smells and tastes so good. And then 20 minutes later, your body's like, fuck you. That was a horrible life choice. And why would you put that in me? I don't even know what that is. Like, oh my God. Bleh. And now you pay the consequences. That's what happens with wielding magic unethically. It's like a Big Mac. Consequences of that Big Mac later. All right. All right. Till next time, you know where to find me. You can find me at empressgaia.com for all your kink needs and for to enter into the world of all things Gaia, go to gaiamorissette.com. And if you're really curious about magic, and learning to embrace your magical gifts and how to wield them, reach out to me. You can also, I have a course called Essence, which you can find on my online courses library as well. So, all right, until next time, make sure you're bubbled and try not to get everybody around you to get into an orgy without the consent of them. Okay? All right, bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at gaiamorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also, come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.